Hi, everyone. This is part two to our episode on pet peeves. If you haven't listened to part one, I hope you'll go back and listen. And if you guys have any to add to the list, please contact us and let us know. But here is part two. How about Aaron, as you as a captain, do you have any pet peeves?
Yeah, I was going to say, so my biggest pet peeve as a captain in the last few years has probably been someone asking to reschedule a match, or let's say we have a reschedule. Actually, this is a bigger pet peeve. When there is a reschedule, like for weather or like for, a match has ended up on a holiday, like near Memorial Day or near, spring break or whatever it is. The day of the match, if it's just a normal match day, you put your lineup out, people know, show up on that day. But reschedules, it's like everybody wants the rules bent for them.
Yes. Yeah.
So I have had multiple times where we've set our lineup, we've sent it to the opponents, maybe, it's a week out or 2 weeks out, and then, they still want to change the match day, or they forgot they had clinic that day, or, their kid has a doctor's appointment or whatever.
Doing group Botox that day.
Yeah, yes. Something like, unfortunately, like you have to just find a sub, because I think the rule nowadays, you'd think I would know this, but I haven't captained now for a couple of years. I think the rule now is even if you give your opponents the lineup, you can still switch it before let's say like Michelle and Aaron are going to play, Susie and Josie or whatever. If Michelle, one of my kids has a doctor's appointment that I can't get out of, I can still switch my lineup before I step on the court, but I just have to let my opponents know that.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I think so. But yeah, just like asking for reschedules of reschedules for not great reasons. Or if we've ever asked for a reschedule for whatever reason, just not being accommodated. Like, I feel like we've accommodated so many people over the years. And then I'm like, surely they'll do the same favor for us. And then, it comes to it, like, summer matches are awful because everybody's out of town for vacations and stuff. And those seem to be like the worst times when people think they can do anything they want, even though it's a USTA match.
What do you think the solution is to that? Because it is kind of annoying.
You have to just say no. And I hate to say that. I'm not a no person. I'm very much a, I would like to accommodate and like to, have everybody like me. But it's just impractical.
I have a pet peeve, but I don't know what the correct way is really to do it. So a lot of times, and I've actually been yelled at for both ways, but when you spin the racket, should you do that before you warm up? Because I've
You're supposed to.
Right. And I've had people come out
people
and want to warm. Yeah. And I'm kind of laid, like, especially if we're the visitor, I'm not going to just hop in the saddle and say, can we spin or whatever. But if I'm hosting the court, I certainly try to do that because people like to warm up on the side they're going to play. But I've had people say that they wanted to warm up first so then they can know what to pick. So I think that's maybe a peeve.
That's strategy.
It's strategy, right? Mm-hmm. And so should you stand your ground, even if you're the visiting team, and say, I'd prefer to spin first? It's
you're supposed
the rule.
To.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a rule, but I never follow it. Whatever they want to do, I'm a chicken as well.
But that is, do you remember what the rule is? I'm sure you read it at one point, Carolyn. Do you know?
You're supposed to, before you warm up, you're supposed to spin the racket first.
So you just meet and greet, introduce yourself, spin.
And then warm
up. Do your warm up. Okay. So that's another good one that, not necessarily that, but just warm up. So I find it fascinating how different people get to courts. We as our club, our friends, everyone we play with has always shown up to courts 15 to 30 minutes before match time, right? So that we get a warm up. So I would say last year I was playing a singles match and I showed up because it was singles. I knew I was going to hit a ton. So I didn't want to warm up as much as maybe doubles because doubles, sometimes it's just hard to get a rally going. I showed up at like 5 minutes to match time or maybe 10 minutes till a quarter till. And my opponent didn't show up until match time. And then she wanted to warm up. And this was like a 7 o'clock at night match, like 35 minutes away from my house. I'm like, oh, and it was
annoying.
chilly. Yeah. So I was like sitting there, it was cold, then she shows up, then we have to warm up. So like our 7 o'clock start time after we introduced ourselves and picked our sides and all that, it was like 7:20 or 7:25 by the time we started. So, that is a big pet peeve for me. I think you should start your match at match time, unless you like can't get a court until match time. But if you have, like, if the court's empty, I think people should show up 5, 10, 15 to 30 minutes early, get your warm up in, and then hit the ground running at match time.
I think it's kind of annoying to show up so close to match time and then expect to still have a full warm up. I think that's discourteous.
Yeah, or 15 minutes after match time, but it's within that 15
well,
minutes.
Well, that's where,
that
like, at 15 minutes, you have to forfeit, right?
You have to forfeit, but they show up like 2 minutes before that. And then, are you ready to warm up?
I want to warm up.
I think part of it's too is like, I'm not always clear on what the rule is. So you let it slide, and they've probably been getting it slid through. So maybe they know, maybe they don't know. Maybe it's all strategy. I never really thought about, I have never warmed up with anyone and then thought, I really wish I had picked to serve or, so clearly I'm not paying attention, but that's a good point. I mean, yeah, but if I'm the visit, you know, if I'm the home team, I feel like, okay, I'm in the driver's seat. I can kind of set the pace for this and you can get things going. But people get very fussy. Like, we haven't warmed up. I haven't served. I'm like, well, you were late. I don't know. You know.
Do you remember a couple years ago, both of you remember that? Okay, so our club only has 6 courts. And when we host teams, like in the spring, we have to play 5 courts. So we take up all but 1 court. And maybe there's a court left over for like random people to play on, or maybe one of our pros is doing a lesson. But we have multiple teams at our club, you know, that need all 5 of those courts, right? So do you remember a couple years ago, our pro like had to blow like a loud horn? And she was like, okay, do you remember, Carolyn?
Yes.
So we'll have like a 9:30 a.m. start, and then maybe there's a team that plays at 11, right? And you won't necessarily have all 5 courts wrapped up in an hour and a half. But I remember her telling us, she said, let your opponents know that when they show up, like she was like almost like running it like states. You have a 5-minute warm up, right? So like if you were the 9:30 match, you had to get their warm up. She wanted you to start at match time, and she was blowing a horn.
I love that so much.
I think it's smart because it took the pressure off us to like hurry people along or seem like we were being rude by saying we have to start it. You know, she was just like, burp. She would blow the horn, and we were like, that's it. We got to go.
It kind of feels like a power struggle too sometimes, but sometimes during warm ups, I feel like I'm trying to herd it along because I'm looking at the clock knowing I have X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, we have things to do.
Yeah, I just...
We're not getting paid to play tennis.
No.
And we don't have all day to do it.
So, and it makes me feel rude, but it's like also, it's kind of a power play. Like it's a power struggle with I think if you know, I love the horn. I think she should bring back
the horn idea.
I think everyone should implement a horn. We should all... I'm just going to have one in my bag.
Maybe we should just get a whistle.
We just blow it.
Whoever is exchanging the lineup, either the captain or who's acting captain that day, gets to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
We all have our own whistle, of course, COVID, but you know.
Yeah. You guys made me think of a couple more pet peeves. And as you were talking, it was someone that bounces the ball like 25 times before they serve. And then they serve like, I mean, it's not a hard serve.
It's
not like it's a Nadal. Like
amazing.
But it's like they bounce, stop. Then they bounce more. You're like, is this person for real? I've had a person do that before. And I was just like, this is crazy.
I know Michelle just played a person like that. She bounces the ball and then she looks up and then she looks back down and bounces the ball more. So then you're like looking behind you like, did she just see something? But that's her favorite. That's her serving routine. So let's just say pet peeve. Weird serving routines.
Well, people are ritualistic. I mean, it's really funny. I mean, you know, I can actually like visualize people that I know. And then it makes me go, wonder what I do that.
Right.
Yes.
I know what I do. Here's a pet peeve of my own about myself again.
Let's do our own pet peeves of ourselves. But we do. Too.
Okay. My number one, again, I've mentioned hitting the ball and have it not stay in the court, but so I must have been like a lab rat in a previous life or whatever. I will not sometimes run the shortest distance to get to a ball. I catch myself running with, I'm such a rule follower. I run on the line like the line leader. I run with the lines like Pac-Man or like, I don't Pac-Man. Understand what I'm
like
doing.
Like you can't go diagonal?
She doesn't go, yes.
Occasionally, it's not all the time, thank God, but I will catch myself going, I'm going to go to make a right turn and I'm going to follow the road. I mean, like, it's a, It's just the weirdest thing. I know that Aaron's seen it, but you,
you've said it so many times when we play. It's just funny.
I don't know if anybody notices it, but yeah.
I make more like a huge horseshoe. Like instead of going directly to the ball, I like to run a little bit backwards and then in a big, you know, loop. But I'll tell you my pet peeve of myself, and it's Carolyn's pet peeve as well. Not about me, but about people in general is just talking too much. Sometimes I'm like, I like people so much. I just chit chat with people.
But you're genuine.
And then I get their phone number after, and then I'll hit with them at some point.
And we're best friends.
Then we'll end up on a team together. But
they like you. They like the chit chat.
But I have to think now sometimes, like there are a lot of people like Carolyn that maybe they don't want to hear me talking.
Yeah, but you also recognize when someone doesn't want to.
But I also don't mind being friendly with someone. Like, I don't think we're friends right away. Like, being friendly with someone on the court, maybe between, you know, talking about kids or what restaurant we're going to after, whatever. But I also don't anymore, the more I've played. That doesn't make me feel guilty if I beat them. Where I think, Carolyn, that's what you've said. Like, you don't want to be friendly with someone because then you're like, well, we're friends. And then if they call a ball of yours out, then you're mad at them.
I don't want them to be mad at me.
I don't feel that way. Like, I'm just friendly, and then I go right back to tennis.
But I still want them to like me, and
I do too.
And I want them to think I make.
But I still
want to
beat them,
right? And I want them to think I make good calls. And I think that they do.
You're genuinely an honest person,
and you're not being nice for strategy. I think that's so heartbreaking, especially to friendly chatterbugs like myself, and you know, I like to chit chat, but I do try to curb it a little bit because I do feel like it distracts me too. It's not
right,
just
exactly.
them
yeah.
It actually distracts me, but I want them to know it's genuine. I'm not trying, there's no like thought into it.
It's supposed to be a social outlet for us, so we're trying to make it social, but we do need to curb it sometimes.
And I don't mind talking, it's just I know I'm gonna lose if I do it. I just don't, I'm not in that mindset anymore, and then it's just I think I'm just easily distracted. So Mike explained to me that I do something weird, which I normally played a lot of doubles before, but now I'm playing singles, and I'll ask my opponent if they mind holding the third ball. And he told me that was crazy. He was like, why do you do that? And I was like, well, I've always done that, and I'm happy to hold their ball. Yeah. And he said he has never done that before. He's like, I'm not their ball boy.
See,
you know,
I think that's crazy. I never thought about being – it's just a matter of like – I don't want to hold all three, and if I need an extra ball, I can ask that person to, like, you know, hit it over to me.
Oh, that's a good point about even in doubles. You know, if you pick up a ball and then they clearly have two balls, so you just stick the third in your pocket.
Yeah,
I mean, is the prep? Are you supposed to hit it back?
That's true.
Because I mean, sometimes it seems like people are like hell bent on hitting it back to you, and they're not going to hold the third one. But is that like, is it rude for you to not do it?
And I just read the room on that, right?
Me too.
Like some people,
me too.
Some people, I really do ask people, Carolyn, mostly in singles that comes up, because again, I'm like, I can't hold all three.
Yeah, I always hold my doubles teammate, and he said he does too, but it's just in singles. But when I asked a woman recently, she'd hold my ball, I could tell she was a little bit like, no. And then when I started winning, she stopped holding it. Like she would hit it back. And so
that's hilarious.
So I was like, can you believe that? He's like, you asked someone to hold your ball?
That's so funny. I never thought about it, but I'm going to from now on. I'm just going to. Uh-huh. I'm going to hold two, and I'm going to put the other one somewhere else.
What is it? Yeah. 4 ounces? Like, take it down a notch. Like, it's a little. That's a little. I think it's more of a psychopath to not. I don't know. Like, what are you supposed to do with it?
I think that's the difference between men and women playing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of huge differences.
Did
that's
she
a
leave?
Whole other podcast.
Did they leave and go, can you
believe that?
She had the nerve. Probably.
Thanks again to Aaron and Michelle for discussing this. I think it was really beneficial for me to hear the things that bother them, because it makes me become more aware that even though people may do things that bother me, I most likely do a number of things that bother them. We hope you'll check out our website, which is secondservepodcast.com. Thanks so much for listening, and hope to see you on the court soon.